Slade defended. Have any of y'all thought that maybe Randy had something to do with this shit? He looked at his brothers and his mother. Willie even said that his own son might be involved. He was the same nigga who called him the fake ransom on audio. Wait, I had a ransom on my head? And we taken that into consideration, Killer responded, ignoring audio. It just seems funny that can't nobody catch this Eleanor bitch. Well, get out there with me and help her, Slade said. Instead of y'all want to do is play video games. He looked at Killer. While this nigga too busy surfing the internet for his credit score. He paused. Farrah not in charge of this bitch, and he's not her brother. We are. Man, how much longer you gonna take her for that slut? She's a fucking snake. Huh. Killer laughed in his face. And as far as her not knowing about Knox, leave me alone in a room with her. I'll have her singing like a baby. Audio saw a brown rock-like thing fly past Killer's face and land on his nose. Slade's blow was accurate, and blood splattered everywhere. On the white sheets, floor, and even walls. He was about to go for another punch until Della covered his hand with hers. You got that one over on your brother, but you won't have another. Slade dropped his hand and placed his hands over his face. He finally realized what just happened. Farrah got into his mind and twisted things around. In the end, he chose her over his brothers, and it wouldn't happen again. I'm sorry about that shit, man. I really am. Killer held his bloody mouth. Whatever, nigga. This is breaking my heart, Della interrupted. My boys are fighting each other. While my youngest son is in the hospital bed. She looked at all of them. Have we forgotten that just 3 weeks ago, he was fighting for his life? Audio's eyebrows rose. I've been here for 3 weeks? Yes, son, and you almost ain't make it. But with God's blessing, you have a doctor who gives a fuck. Della told him honestly. It's about family now, and I don't need y'all fighting. I got one son back, and I'm still working on the other. Now we gonna find out where Knox is. And I think the way we do that is by taking over Platinum Lofts and staying in Washington, D.C. She focused on her oldest son. Slade, whether you like it or not, Judge and Grant are en route. And they are bringing a lot of your cousins with them, too. I suggest you stay out their way and let them do their work. Well, we all can't stay at Markey's, Major said. I spoke to Vivian, the property manager at Platinum Lofts, Della continued. We were able to rent a few apartments for a good price on a temporary basis. I guess because with all the missing people lately, folks are breaking their leases. I wanted us stationed at that building. I want everybody to keep an eye on Farrah Cotton at all times. Now, I know you love the girl, and I'm not trying to get in the way of that. I just want you to understand that if she knows something, she isn't telling us. We intend on finding out. When I first came in town, she had something in her hands. When I walked into the hallway, something she was trying to hide from me. I want to find out what that thing was. There were so many emotions floating around that Audio felt selfish for wanting to ask his next question. But if he didn't, he would worry. So, what happened to Chloe? He looked at his mother. Is she okay? The expressions on their faces changed immediately. Truthfully, she was hoping that he didn't care about the girl so much. Now she could tell, by looking into his eyes, that she was wrong. Yet another cotton woman had gotten her hands on one of her sons. Chloe didn't make it, son. Della walked up to him. And I'm so sorry I had to be the one to tell you that. Audio's eyes widened, and he had to tell himself to breathe. How's her family? From what I've seen, not too good. Chapter 7, Farah. If you leave me, a lot of people will die. The sheets wrapped Farah's body like a mummy. She felt comforted this way, stiff, motionless. She could smell something meaty cooking in the kitchen, and her stomach rolled. She was hungry, yet she couldn't eat. She was disgusted, yet she wanted to feel. Her skin was irritated, and sores dotted her body from a constant bout with hives. She knew she resembled a monster, even if she hadn't seen her face in days. Life was different now. One minute she and her family walked in to see Chloe in the hospital. She was bruised, but alive. When they stepped out to get some food and returned, the doctor informed them that she lost oxygen to her brain and died. Farah, Shadow, and Mia tore the hospital up from top to bottom upon hearing the news. Even when threatened with prison, Shadow held the doctor up off of his feet and contemplated taking his life. It wasn't until Elise arrived and placed her hand on his shoulder that he came back to his senses. Shadow, if you go back to prison, you stand for life. Now, if you really want to kill this man, we can do that. But understand that I'm pulling the trigger instead of you. I'm not about to lose another grandchild, Elise told him. When they went home, life for Farah was a mess. She missed Chloe running around the apartment singing, fussing, and violating her privacy. She missed her stealing her clothes and crawling into her bed on the nights she didn't want to be alone. Losing Chloe punched her at the core, repeatedly, with no let-up. She unwrapped the sheets from around her body and tried to sleep. Besides, when she slept, she didn't have to think. She slammed her lids together until Mia walked into her room.
It stinks in here. Are you washing your ass at all anymore?
Mia asked.
Thanks a lot for your encouragement, Mia.
She rolled over and faced the wall.
If you can get the fuck out of my room, you won't have to worry about smelling it. You gotta get up and eat, Farah.
Mia stood in the doorway, defiantly. The jeans that once hugged Mia's flesh were now loose and falling off her hip bones. She'd lost over 30 pounds since they buried Chloe and looked like a totally different person. Who would have known that under the cellulite and excess blubber was a curvy woman with a banging shape? Although losing weight was not her plan, it was the only positive thing that came as a result of her sister's death.
You can't sleep all day. I'm not going to let you keep doing this to yourself anymore. You still have family who cares about you, Farah.
Farah tried to suffocate herself by placing the pillow over her head. If Mia wanted to flop around D.C. like they never had a baby sister, that was on her. She preferred death.
Just leave me alone, Mia.
Her muffled voice called out from the pillow.
All I want to do is go back to sleep.
Before Mia could respond, Shadow hustled past her and yanked Farah out of the bed by her waist. Her fists and legs kicked wildly out in front of her, but he had her in a death grip. Once in the kitchen, he slammed her limp, stinky body into a chair at the table. Then he snatched a box of Cap'n Crunch off of the fridge and slapped it down in front of her, along with the milk and the bowl. The smell of whatever meat was in the oven and the sweet cereal made her stomach churn. He didn't consider if she was hungry or not. Instead, he stabbed spoonful after spoonful inside her gaunt face. He didn't bother to wait for her to chew or not. He lost his baby sister and wasn't about to lose Farah too, because she gave up on life. He didn't stop until she started crying and crunch berries leapt out of the sides of her mouth. She cried hard and long. It was the first cry she participated in since the news that Chloe was dead. Seeing Farrah's condition, Mia cried too.
"Now I know it's fucked up,"
Shadow said, holding back his own tears. He wiped her face with the sleeve of his red sweatshirt.
"You know I do, but I'm not about to lose you too, man. It ain't happening."
He slapped his chest.
"We all we got now that Ma gone and Dad is locked up. You gotta pick yourself up today, Farrah. We gave you 3 weeks, but we not doing it no more. We even let you stay home and not go to the funeral and held Grandma back when she tried to kick down the door to drag you there. But I'm done with this shit."
"I feel like this is all my fault,"
Farrah sobbed, wiping her nose with her hand.
"The fuck you talking about?"
Shadow inquired, pushing the cereal out of the way.
"This ain't nobody's fault. Nobody knew that she was gonna jump in the truck with audio and get into an accident. Can nobody in here tell Chloe what to do? We all knew that."
"I can't take this. I can't take it."
She continued the pity party without any guess. Shadow was fed up, and Mia wanted to slap her for the way she was performing. They missed Chloe too, but they also knew Farrah was going about her grief in the wrong way.
"Listen, Chloe rode with that nigga she was feeling and paid for it with her life," Shadow said. "That shit don't have nothing to do with you, me, or Mia. Now I need you to stop moping around the fucking house and wash your ass. You smell like one of them dirty bitches down the street."
He stood up in full rage mode.
"I'm sick of all this weak ass shit around here."
He pushed toward his room. When the door slammed, Mia took a seat next to her sister.
"One minute he acts like he loves me, and the next he goes crazy,"
Farrah said as she wiped her tears.
"Shadow is taking it hard too, Farrah, but he does love you, and every night he walks into your room when you're asleep just to make sure you're still alive. We both are worrying about you, but it's time to snap out of this shit and get your life together."
She paused.
"You gotta do it for yourself and for Chloe."
"I'm trying," Farrah said under her breath. "I just don't know where to start."
"You can start with a bath,"
Mia suggested, and Farrah laughed for the first time in weeks.
"There you go. The smile I love for my sister."
She rubbed her hand softly and observed her face.
"Ooh. Have you looked into the mirror? You have scabs everywhere on your body."
"I know. That's why I don't want to look."
She swallowed.
"Do you remember the nigga Gene Hershey?"
Mia asked.
"Who went to school with me? With the waterhead and big eyes?"
Farrah frowned.
"Mia, I didn't go to school with you, so how would I know him?"
Mia rolled her eyes.
"Anyway, he was on the news the other day,"
Mia explained.
"Apparently, when the kid Amika went missing, he was on duty as a manager for the movie theater. Miraculously, the surveillance tape showing what happened the day is missing."
Farrah was relieved that the tape couldn't be found, because even though Chloe killed him instead of her, Farrah was still her sister and would most likely be linked to the crime in some way.
"That's good for us, right?" Farrah asked. "I hope so. But I know this dude, Farrah. He's hiding something. Bet money he got that tape either because he was doing something he wasn't supposed to at work, or maybe he holding it for ransom."
Farrah raised her eyebrows.
"You think he gonna try to blackmail us?" "I think if that was his plan, it would have been done already."
As long as the tape was gone, Farrah couldn't care less what happened to it. Her mind was on other things.
"Has Slade been by to check on me?"
"No."
She removed her hand.
"But it seems like every country nigga from down south live in this building now. They stake out the front, and I'm not sure, but something tells me they're looking at this door. Be careful when you leave out, Farrah. Shit is serious."
Farrah's head tightened. In her mind, she would be seeing Chloe sooner than later, if the Bakers had anything to do with it.
How you know they were slayed?
Because they've been in and out of Marky's apartment and got accents thicker than my thighs used to be.
Mia looked into her eyes.
Where is that picture?
You got rid of it, Farrah, because for all we know, they could be going through your car.
Yeah, I tossed it out.
She lied.
Are you sure, Farrah?
Yes.
She looked at her hands.
Mia, I miss him so much.
You don't need to, Mia frowned. He's been keeping time with different girls, and I'm only telling you so you can be prepared. They be young and dumb, but that's what it's been.
Farrah felt lightheaded, as a vision of him kissing a random bitch flashed in her mind.
Shannon been over his place, too?
I don't think so, Mia said. But to be honest, I think he's just doing anything he can to keep his mind off of you. Or maybe he's chosen his family instead of being in a relationship with you. To be honest, Farrah, he can't stay with you and stand by his family. He has to decide. And maybe he's made his decision. To tell you the truth, Farrah, I don't know.
He over me, Mia. I know it.
She wanted to cry, but held it down.
Were any of them prettier than me?
Mia looked at her spotty face. She looked horrible. But the truth might send her back another month.
Now who could be prettier than you, Farrah Cotton?
Farrah trudged into the bathroom, walked up to the mirror, and placed her hands on the sink. For weeks, she avoided mirrors on purpose. And now it was time to face her truth. Slowly, her head rose, and when she saw the woman looking back at her, she crashed her fist into it. It had been a mistake. This was the worst she ever looked. The mirror shattered under the weight of her blow, as shards of glass sounded like bells falling into the porcelain sink. Not able to accept her new face, Farrah plummeted to the floor and thrust herself into a crying fit. With her knees against her chest, she rocked back and forth in a ball.
This can't be my life. This can't be my life.
Porphyria, the blood disease she had been cursed with all her life, was causing her nothing but extreme stress, and she wanted it done with. Hearing the noise, Mia and Shadow bogarted into the bathroom to check on her.
What the fuck happened?
He asked, observing the condition of her bloody, broken mirror.
Why'd you do that shit? Look at my fucking face!
She was rocking so hard that they thought she would roll out the door.
Look at my nose! I'm a monster! He'll never want me like this! He won't have anything to do with me!
Farrah, if you talking about Slade, things will be fine,
Mia responded, wishing she never told her about the bitches.
You just gotta...
I need blood, she interrupted, as she looked up at them with her red, swollen eyes. She looked so loony that they backed up for fear that she'd try to take blood.
I need blood so I can be pretty and stuff. It works so good for me.
Farrah, you just gotta get out the bed, Shadow said, sitting on the toilet. You don't need to be killing nobody just because you think you need blood.
I don't think I need it. I do!
She screamed so loud. It echoed long after she closed her mouth.
Look at me! Look at my face! Y'all don't have this disease the same way I do. You never did.
That's 'cause we take the medicine, Shadow said.
You don't want to take yours because you think it doesn't work.
I took it for years, and nothing I did worked for me but blood,
Farrah said, trying to get them to understand. She had her first taste of blood almost 6 months ago, when her cousin Cosmo hooked her up with Grand Mike, a man who claimed he could cure her porphyria, with the hope of regaining her beauty, since her skin was badly damaged. She paid Grand Mike $1,600. In return for her money, he gave her vials of blood in a cooler. Farrah drank the blood as prescribed and immediately felt better. She was no longer ill, and her skin cleared up miraculously. Although Shadow, Mia, and Chloe felt she was feeling better because the blood had a placebo effect, Farrah believed in its powers to heal.
"The medicine didn't work because you overreacted, Farrah," Shadow told her.
"You have high anxiety. That's what Dr. Martin was trying to tell you, but you never listened. Let's call him to see what he can do for you."
Farrah wanted to kill him for that comment. "That man will never touch me again. And if you call him, I'll run away. And you'll never see me again. Do you understand, Farrah? Stop being so... Do you understand?"
"Whatever the fuck," he responded.
"I need blood," Farrah continued. "And I need it now."
Silence. Mia looked over to Shadow and saw he was beyond frustration. She said,
"Farrah, you have to contain your evil," Mia said.
"Niggas is swarming the building looking for Knox, who we all know is dead. Let us not forget that Shadow had to help Chloe kill Emiko in her room. We are hot right now. You are hot right now. Slow down." When Chloe discovered that Farrah drank blood and hid the vials in her closet, she destroyed them by the orders of her grandmother Elise. Farrah was devastated when she learned her blood was gone and hit Chloe for violating her privacy. Chloe was so overcome by grief for betraying her sister that she went out to get another victim to take his blood. It didn't take her long when she met Emiko Glasser at a movie theater with the promise of sex. Chloe lured Emiko to her house. When she let Emiko in her bed, she flipped the light switch off to conceal what she was doing to him. In the darkness, she pricked him with a needle to draw his blood. Instead of lying down and taking it, Emiko fought for his life. Had Shadow not come home early from prison and walked into the room to save her, Chloe would have died that night.
"What about the nigga who dropped the pictures?" Shadow added. "We still don't know who that is."
"Exactly," Mia jumped in. "So the last thing you need to be doing is killing folks and drinking blood.
Not to mention, you still haven't found this dope head bitch. There are plenty of other things to be done, Farrah. Killing unnecessary people for blood should not even be on the agenda."
"Can you help me find her?" she asked, looking from him to her. "Eleanor?"
"Farrah, we've been looking for this bitch for the past 3 weeks, Shadow admitted. "Now either she's disappeared, left town, or is already dead." She wasn't relieved.
"No matter what, we won't stop looking for her. And when we do, we gonna put something in her head."
Farrah grinned. "Okay, so now that I have your help, I can go out and take care of myself. I promise not to get caught." She looked up at them with wide eyes.
"I've killed many, and I've never gotten caught."
Mia and Shadow looked at each other in shock.
"Trust me, I'll be fine."
"I'm so tired of this Elizabeth Bathory shit." Shadow stood up.
"Who's that?"
Farrah inquired.
"Look it up,"
he said angrily as he exited.
"He'll get over it,"
she said, trying not to cry. She didn't want her brother to be angry with her and hoped eventually he would change.
"He just needs some time."
Mia sighed.
"Farrah, it looks like you have your mind made up. So what you gonna do?"
She sat on the toilet lid.
"I want to go see Slade. I need to see if he still loves me."
Mia shook her head.
"That's a bad idea. But do what you have to do."
The only thing Farrah wanted was to plead her love to Slade in the hopes that he would take her back. So she took a bath, put on her prettiest red sweater dress, and drank half a bottle of vodka. Once dressed, she slathered makeup on her face. It was a half-assed job, and she could still see splotches on her skin. But for now, it would have to do. When she was as presentable as possible, she walked down the hallway toward Markey's. On the way to his apartment, she saw a beautiful Asian girl and a black guy carrying a brown box. They smiled and waved at her, but she ignored them. Although she didn't give them the time of day, They continued to stare at her until she walked up to Marky's apartment and knocked on the door. Something was off about them. When the door finally opened, Audio examined her with a brown bottle of liquor in his hand. He could barely stand up, and the Hennessy orchestrated every move he made.
"If you here, you must got information on my brother."
His words slurred, despite being slightly coherent.
"If you don't, turn around and get the fuck out of here before I break your face."
Farrah stepped back because Audio's eyes told her he meant business.
"I know nothing about you putting your hands on me, but since we talking about family, let's talk about the fact that you killed my sister, all because you couldn't drive a car. What about that, Audio, huh?"
"Bitch, I will kill you if you ever come at me like that."
He stepped out into the hallway. "I love Chloe." He pointed at himself with a hand gripping the bottle, and liquor splashed everywhere.
"And I never got a chance to tell her that shit before she was taken from me."
Farrah's voice softened, seeing the pain in his eyes.
"And nobody ever questioned it before now. But you better give the same respect when it comes to Slade. I would never, ever do anything that would hurt him or his brother."
She lied so much that she really forgot she killed Knox and sucked his blood.
"I can't even grieve for my sister because he's on my mind. I just want to talk to him."
Audio splashed the liquor into his mouth and walked backward into the apartment. The door remained open, and 5 minutes later, Slade swaggered to the door. He wore the same blank expression he always did. Still, he looked different. The black choppered watch on his arm with the leather band made a statement. He was a dope boy.
"I see you doing good from the robbery I helped set up," she thought.
She remembered when he first dropped into D.C. and was broke. Now he made a come up, and it was partially because she helped them rob Randy by keeping him busy. He looked over, and immediately she felt self-conscious.
"What do you want, Farrah?"
"Can we talk?" She peered into the house and saw that everyone inside was staring in her direction.
"In private?"
Della walked out of the kitchen, wearing a red apron and holding a knife in her hand. The way she held onto it made Farrah shiver.
"It ain't much we need to talk about. I don't even know why you came around here."
"He doesn't want to have anything else to do with me because of how I look."
"Slade, dinner is almost done," Della told him. "How about you say goodbye to your friend and have dinner with your family?" "Give me a second, Ma,"
he said, slightly annoyed by his mother's intrusion. He turned back to Farrah.
"I gotta go."
He went to close the door, and she blocked him.
"Please, Slade," she held the door. "I sucked your dick, fucked you raw, and you told me you loved me to my face."
His eyes popped open, and he looked back to see if his mother was still there. She was.
"The least you can do is give me 5 minutes of your time. I deserve that much."
Not wanting the audience to hear their raunchy adventures, he rushed into the hallway and closed the door behind him.
"Why would you come at me like that?"
he whispered heavily.
"With my mother inside the house?"
"Because I knew that was the only way you would close the door and talk to me. I'm sorry," she apologized.
"How come you didn't see about me when I lost my sister?"
"I knew you were okay," he said in a low voice.
"How?"
"I asked your grandmother when she came by one day." Although it wasn't the answer she wanted, it felt good that he at least cared.
"Is that all you wanted to know? Who are them bitches who be at your house all the time?"
she asked, as if she still had the right. "The last thing I know was we were together."
"I'm not about to argue with you about what I do in my spare time, Farrah."
"I want to be with you, Slade. And if we're not together, the least you can do is tell me you are seeing other people."
"I'm seeing plenty of people."
His words were cold, but his voice told her his heart felt something different.
"You need to move on without me, Farrah. I'm not good for you anymore."
"That's a lie," she hit him in the chest, "and you know it." He walked into the hallway and leaned up against the wall.
"Why are you doing this shit right now?"
He paused. Go home and be with your family.
I spent 3 weeks with my family, but they're not the ones leaving me.
Farrah cried.
I'm worried about our relationship. What can I do but beg you, Slade? If there's another way to let you know how much I love you, I'm willing to go there. Just say the word.
Silence. Slade pushed off of the wall, stood over her, and looked into her eyes. Farrah, we over. I know it's fucked up, but it's best we split. It's for your safety. There was nothing more in the world he wanted to do than be with her. But their relationship seemed to exacerbate the situation that Knox was still missing. He knew the things Judge and Grant were capable of. He could recount many stories where people who had beef with the Bakers went missing. At one point, they were even considering putting them on Sheriff Kramer, but they knew they needed him to stand trial for what he'd done. At the end of the day, Slade figured if they weren't together, she'd be out of harm's way and protected. It's over, Farrah.
I can't accept anything you're saying to me right now.
She shook her head. You don't have a choice. Now get the fuck out of here, because the next time I see you, all I'm trying to hear is that you found Eleanor.
If you leave me, a lot of people will die.
His eyebrows rose. What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Just what I said.
She looked up at him with a tearful stare.
Are you sure you want to be responsible for that?
Do whatever you need to do. Just stay from around here. Thinking she was saying anything out of her mouth to convince him to stay, he responded by slamming the door in her face. Whatever she did after that moment, whoever she killed was all on him. She wiped the last tears away and decided to be the best monster she could be. She was awful at love, but there was one thing in the world she was good at, and she decided to do it. When Farrah got into her car, she could tell right away that Mia and Shadow put some work into it when she turned the engine on, because it wasn't making the noise. Before pulling off, she remembered what Shadow said earlier in the bathroom about being tired of the Elizabeth Bathory shit. She decided to check the internet from her cell to see who she was. She remained in her car for 30 minutes, captivated by her story. She immediately felt a kinship with the former real-life countess from Hungary who reigned in the 1500s. The only difference between them was that Bathory chose to bathe in the blood of her victims to maintain her beauty, while Farrah chose to drink it. Whether Shadow knew it or not, discovering that a person was alive who participated in the same kinds of crimes did nothing but validate her. What a sick combination. Two cars behind her was a truck full of Baker cousins with Killa in the driver's seat. He was waiting for her to make a move, and now that she was on her feet, he would not let her out of his sights. Chapter 8, Farrah. The night is so young, and so are we. The cool night air made her feel powerful as she strolled into the smoke shop. The honeyed fragrance wasn't offensive, nor did it exacerbate her illness. In fact, it was refreshing and made her horny. The stylish brown leather jacket clung to the waves of her breasts, and her cleavage puffed out at the top ever so slightly. There wasn't a man in sight who wasn't lusting after Farrah Cotton.
Damn, beautiful. You wearing that dress, aren't you?
A short man said, pimping toward her. Every tooth in his mouth was yellow or chipped, and not a thing was attractive about him. Farrah enjoyed blood, but she preferred her victims to be attractive. She couldn't imagine putting her lips anywhere near his dehydrated skin.
Can I take you out? As a matter of fact, can I lick that pussy dry?
She frowned when she smelled the scent of the rotten teeth in his mouth. You can't do nothing for me but get up out of my face. In need of separation, she strolled up to a black and silver hookah lamp. She wasn't looking to make a purchase, just looking the part.
Damn, baby.
Deathmouth continued, grabbing her softly by the elbow. You can at least show some respect. I'm trying to show you how a real man can make you feel. And giving me neck. What's up with that shit? She spun around and glared at him. Look, nigga, I'm doing you a favor by carrying the fuck out of you. You don't know what kind of person I can be. So what is a pretty thing like you gonna do to me? Kill me? Silence. He took the walk of shame out of the shop. Ferris sighed. My man, come here for a second, Killer said, when he saw Mr. Rotten Tooth exit the shop. Do I know you? He frowned. Nah, but you might know him, he said, flashing a $50 bill. Broke and busted, he strolled over to Killer's black Suburban. What's up? He asked, looking at the four niggas in the truck. Is a bitch with the red dress inside there? Killer asked him. Irritated that she shot him down, he said, yeah, that slut up in there, acting like she too good for a nigga and shit. She look like she coming out anytime soon? Nah, if you ask me, she looks like she waiting for something or somebody. Killer nodded. Thanks, man. He dapped him and gave him the bill. We appreciate it. When he walked away, Killer's cousin from Jersey said, so what we gonna do now? Go up in there and kidnap the bitch? No. Killer shook his head. We gonna try to get up in her car first to see if we can find anything. And if that doesn't work, we'll push to plan B. After bullshitting around the shop a little longer, it didn't take Farrah long to spot a 6-foot-tall, sexy nigga. He took his brown gloves off and stuffed them inside the pockets of his black pea coat. His brown face was speckled with a few moles, and luckily for Farrah, instead of the cigars, he was coming straight for her. She whipped her bone-straight hair over her shoulder and braced herself. Before he mumbled a word, she knew he would taste sweet. Trying to play a little hard to get, she picked up a pack of strawberry tobacco to give him a hard time. Greeting her back instead of her face didn't spoil his confidence one bit. He strolled into her space, giving her nowhere to move but against him. From the shine of the hookah lamp to the right, she saw the reflection of his face. He was perfect. You know you're gonna be my wife, right? She whirled around to face him and beamed. As bad as I look, you still want a girl like me? He looked over her. In my opinion, you are perfect. Don't say stuff you don't mean, because I take marriage very seriously. She touched her imperfect face. Once you have me, you're stuck with me for life. He nodded, loving her already. For life, huh? He grinned. As fine as you are, that's a chance I'm willing to take. You laying it on very thick, aren't you? She surveyed the store. I mean, ain't you supposed to be in here buying cigars or hookah stuff? She waved the pack of strawberry tobacco. You looking at me like I'm on the shelf. And you love it, too. He considered the curvature of her body. Besides, when I see something I want, I jump at it. I'm not about wasting my time or yours. He paused and looked at her cleavage. Is your boyfriend here? He looked around, 'cause I know somebody's claiming you. Thinking of Slade made her feel guilty, but he had made his decision and she was going to do her. Besides, the man in front of her wouldn't be around long enough to cause serious problems anyway. I'm single, so my only question to you is, what are you going to do about it? I have a few ideas, he admitted. That is, if you're not too busy for a nigga today. I think I have a little time, but I have one question. He nodded for her to proceed. Can I make you famous? He chuckled. Hold up, what do you mean about that? The question requires a yes or no answer. Can I make you famous? Fair believed in giving her victims a right to decide before she killed them and took their blood. If they said no, she'd leave them to it. But if they said yes, it would mean their lives. As long as you let me take you out of here, you can make me anything you want. And that's on my mother, he told her. That was one thing she loved about men. They always seem to walk into the trap and lock the gate behind them. Before we do all that, you have to tell me your name. Lloyd. But honestly, you can call me anything you want. He was on a roll, but she loved it. What's your name, beautiful?
Farrah Cotton.
Now that's a name. He took her hand into his. She grinned. Glad you like it. So where are we going? Wherever you allow me to take you. Lead the way, she said softly. As Farrah followed his white Honda, she noticed something was off in her car. They were placed differently than the way they were before, and then her scalp seemed to tighten. Someone had been in her car. Oh my God, the picture. I left the picture in the trunk. She needed to check the trunk, but lust and blood were on her mind too. Nervously, she followed Floyd with plans to check her car the moment they parked. Looking out of her rear view mirror ever so often, she was trying to be sure she wasn't being followed. Nothing appeared to be out of place, but her mind was so wrecked, she couldn't be sure. After some time, what she did notice was how drastically the environment changed. One minute she was in a ritzy part of Maryland, and the next minute she was parking in one of the most violent areas of D.C. She was no stranger to the hood, but it was unexpected for a man like him. Floyd looked like he played basketball overseas, but she wondered if he was a dope boy instead. He parked his car and rushed toward her Benz to open the door. You cool? Because you look out of it. Farrah popped the trunk, stepped out, and rushed toward it. It didn't take long to find what she was looking for. There under the spare tire was a picture of Knox, looking behind her. She ripped it up into million pieces and stuffed it inside her purse.
It didn't work, motherfuckers, she yelled into the night. Do you hear me? Ah, it didn't work.
Floyd stepped back and asked, are you okay? Realizing she looked beyond crazy, she said, yes. It's a long story. She didn't know who was in her car or even how they got inside without popping the locks, but she grinned, realizing that she'd won. Will you want to go inside and grab a drink? Lead the way. A little calmer, she observed the run-down apartment building before her. Green moss ran up and down the bricks, and it creeped her out. If there was anything she despised, bugs and grossness were it. Yeah, I guess, she shrugged, rubbing her arms. You live here? For now. He grabbed her hand. But come on in, sexy. Let me get you inside before you catch a cold. Reluctantly, she accompanied him up a set of dank-smelling steps and to a blue door. Although the hood was alive outside, the inside was on some VIP shit. A large plush sofa sat against the wall, and a beautiful mahogany table sat in the middle of the living room. It smelled sweet and fresh, but not strong enough to worsen her illness. Floyd removed his black peacoat and assisted her out of her leather. Damn, you sexy as shit. And I love them shoes. She grinned, wiggled her black steel-toed pump, and posed. Glad I could make you happy already. I can't lie. You did that the moment I saw your face. And them hips. I love compliments, even though I see you keep looking at my spotty face. The last thing I'm thinking about is your face, he winked. So thank you, Farrah told him. He was so excited that for a moment she felt sorry she was going to kill him. Don't thank me. I just love a bitch with a mean shoe game, he paused. You drink Merlot? Sure. She dropped her purse on the table and fell onto his sofa. If she had to, she could certainly see living here. As clean as this place is, you gotta have a girlfriend. Why you say that? He popped the cork on a bottle of wine. Because I keep my place up? She raised her eyebrows. I'm gonna be real with you. You know I got somebody, just like I know you do. You here now, so there ain't no need in playing no more games. We both ain't shit. She giggled. So all that shit in the store about me being wifey was game? What you think? He giggled.
and about my place being nice, even if I didn't have a bitch, I'd keep a fly place. And you don't have a problem bringing me here, knowing you got somebody in your life? She was beginning not to like him, and it was always easier killing someone she disliked. Because I know, she wouldn't like what you're doing. Hey, we haven't done anything yet. You just like the rest of the niggas out there. Always want to fuck a bitch, play with her heart, and dump her when you get yours. One day niggas like you gonna be extinct, Slade. Just remember that shit. He didn't know what caught him off guard. The name slip up or what she said to him. My name isn't Slade. I knew something was wrong with you after you yelled at nobody outside. Ferris crazy slid out, and now he was nervous. I meant Floyd. Who was Slade? He paused. Your man? I said it was a mistake. Look, what I do with my bitch is my business, and what you do with your niggas is yours. All I want is to spend some time with you and maybe put a smile on your face. Is that gonna be enough for you or what? She shrugged. I'm here, ain't I? Good. He handed her a glass of wine and held on to his glass. So, tell me about yourself, Ferris said, sipping her drink. Well, what you want me to know anyway? Okay, I'm an engineer. I love to fuck and have a good time, he said. Ooh, I can't wait to kill your ass. Anything else? You want more, he chuckled. Well, I'm real close to my family. You got a big family? Yeah, he sighed. But my sister's dying of cancer, and my mother is losing her mind because of it. Suddenly, he wasn't cocky. That's why I smoke so much weed, just to clear my mind. I stay at the smoke shop, getting blunts and shit. I'm surprised I haven't seen you around there before. Something about what he said put her on pause. When you say you're close to your family, do you mean really close? I'll put it like this. If it wasn't for my family, I'd be dead or in jail right now. So I take them very seriously. I talk to my family every day, and that's not an overstatement. I put nothing above them, including my girlfriend. That's one of the reasons we fight so much, and I fuck around on her. She don't understand the bond I have with my family. And I can't understand why she don't get along with hers. If Chloe dies, though, I'm gonna lose it. Your sister's name is Chloe? Yeah. Why? Farrah downed her glass of wine and stood up. I'm out of here. She slammed the glass on the table, threw her jacket on, and snatched her purse. It's been real, but I have things to do. It was easy to kill him when she believed he was selfish and thought only of himself. But now she discovered that he loved his family, and their sisters shared the same name. Because of it, she would spare him. Wait, where you going? He approached her at the door and put his hand on it to prevent it from opening. We haven't done nothing yet. When she grabbed the doorknob, he yanked her elbow. Oh, so you that type of bitch who like to play games, come over a nigga's house, drink his wine, ask about his girlfriend, and bounce. He frowned a little. Wait, you know my girlfriend Candace is something? You one of her friends? I'm trying to leave, Floyd. You really need to allow me. If you were in prison playing these games, you'd already be on your knees with my nuts in your mouth. Farrah grinned. You so stupid. You don't even know when you're being spared. She shook her head. I'm giving you back your life, Floyd, but if you don't get away from this door, you gon' find out what I really came for. He stood at the door for a second until he recognized her glare. He'd been in jail long enough to know when a nigga was bluffing. She was not playing. He released her arm, and she switched out of the door and on to her next victim. She couldn't believe she wasted so much time at his house only for him to be ungrateful. She massaged her left temple and tried to calm down. Hours wasted and no blood. Before she renewed her search, she had to get out of the neighborhood. She was strung toward a car when someone yelled, "Can I holler at you for a minute?" Farrah took one look at the drug dealer and the souped-up silver Chrysler 300, rolled her eyes, and continued on her journey. "I'm not even interested," she waved, as she wrestled for the keys in her purse. "So do me a favor and step the fuck off. Well, fuck you then, you high yellow bitch. Want a nigga to kiss your ass and shit.
Ferris stopped in place, rotated, and faced the caller. She could tell by how little his head was in his car that he wasn't as big as Floyd, despite his height. The one thing he had going was his looks. As a matter of fact, at a distance, he was inviting. So she twinkled and said, on second thought, I can spare a few minutes. She approached his window and peered inside. The car was neat and clean.
I'm sorry about how I carried shit back there. I just broke up with my boyfriend and got a lot on my mind. I don't have a right to be taking it out on you, though.
He smirked. You were pretty cold. He was laying it on thicker than peanut butter.
But damn, why you let me unleash on you first? I wasn't even trying to come at you like that.
It's not even that deep. Let's move past this shit. She looked up at the stars.
The night is young, so are we.
Anyway, what's your name? She leaned on his car.
Glover, but my friends call me G.
So G, you got somewhere to be in the next 15 minutes? After the day I just had, I really don't want to be alone.
His words flowed coolly out of his mouth, but his smile resembled a Cheshire cat.
I'm good as you are. He slapped his hands together and rubbed them like he was trying to warm up.
My mother gonna be gone all day. If you want, we can fuck at her crib. I don't have to check up with my weed man until later.
This nigga is perfect. He was cute enough to fuck, but irritating enough to soothe her conscience. I'll go with you on one condition.
As fond as you are, I'll give you anything but money.
Don't worry, nigga. I'm gonna take everything you got anyway.
You have to answer my question. Can I make you famous? You can make me anything you want. Believe that, she grinned.
Well, lead the way. Farrah was sitting on top of Glover's dick, bucking her hips wildly. Sweat spilled off her body and melted into the curly black hairs of his chest. His fingernails dug into the flesh of her yellow ass as he pushed into her wetness. She wasn't a pro by a long shot in the bedroom, but the last time she fucked Slade, he gave her enough jewels on how to move her waist.
If only you could see me now, you'd be proud, she thought.
While on top of him, she leaned back so that her hands were on the bed. While she pushed and wound against him, her pussy syrup dripped all over his legs, and the bed was soaking wet. She fell into him, and her breast pressed against his lips.
Kiss them for me, baby.
He removed his hands from her ass and gripped her left breast and sucked the nipple.
Ooh, work that tongue, G. Just like that. Ooh, that shit feels so good.
If she closed her eyes tight enough in her dreams, he could have passed for Slade. Although she was there for blood, she would be lying if she didn't say she was highly aroused by his fuck game. The nigga was brilliant, and in her opinion, it was a shame that such good dick would go to waste. Finished with her left titty, he moved to the right. When he licked them both clean, he placed his hands back on her cheeks and squeezed.
Damn, bitch, buck them hips just like that. He moaned. I'm about to splash into this pussy.
Ferris spun, pumped, and moved her waist as much as she could. Outside of fucking Slade, this was the best sex she ever had.
You almost got me there, ma. Work it.
As much as he pumped her up that she was handling business, he could have coached even the Redskins to victory.
Keep it just like that. You like what I'm doing, don't you?
This was the best reaction she ever got from a nigga outside of Slade.
I love this shit, girl. You got me about to juice up in that thing. Tell me you love this pussy.
She was on the verge of an orgasm.
Talk to me, nasty, or you not gonna get no more.
Farrah getting up before he busted was not an option. So if he had to talk in tongues to keep beating that thing, then so be it.
I fucking love this fucking pussy, bitch. You a sexy red bitch. I'm about to let loose in this pussy.
The more shit he talked, the more she couldn't wait to taste his blood. So right when he was about to come, she fell into his body, removed the razor blade she had stuffed under his pillow when he wasn't looking, and dug into the jugular vein on his neck.
To shield the pain, she bit into his neck and sucked the wound. Glover never felt anything so sexual in all of his life, so he had no idea that he was sliced. He was about to write it off as the best sex he ever had, until she rose up and her lips were blood red.
What the fuck?
He pushed her off of him, and she tumbled to the floor. In panic mode, he held onto his neck and blood oozed through his fingers.
Why'd you cut me?
He looked down at her. His blood was all over her breasts and belly.
Why would you do some shit like that?
Ferris scooted away and ended up with her back against the wall. Literally, I was just tasting you, baby. She laughed, exposing her red teeth. And you're so sweet. You mean mad. Glover dipped toward his dresser and grabbed his mother's 9mm gun. Now armed, he dodged after her, ready to take her life. At that moment, Farrah's driving skills resembled a drunk's, but although she had wine earlier, she was sober as a newborn baby. Her driving was impacted because of what had just happened. Glover almost switched shit on her and took her out of this world. Instead of the other way around, she still couldn't believe she was alive. She clutched the steering wheel so hard, her fingernails were imprinted on it. When G pushed her to the floor and approached her with a gun, had it not been for the steel heel on her shoe, which she used to stab him in his groin area, she would have been murdered. After she stabbed him repeatedly, everywhere her shoe would land, he lost so much blood that she was able to wrestle the gun out of his hand and put a bullet in his head. When she was done, she cleaned the place up as much as possible. Starved, she strolled into the IHOP restaurant to order pancakes with cheese. When her order was complete and she was on her way out, she smacked into Rhonda, who was walking inside. At first, she was going to pretend she didn't see her, but Rhonda blocked her path and stared directly into her eyes. Oh, this is all I need right now. Hi, Rhonda. Farrah sounded dry. I'm sorry to hear about what happened to Chloe. Her expression was bland and emotionless. She was always real cool with me, and I liked her a lot. She looked her over. So how are you holding up? You look good. I'm not as good as I look. Farrah observed Rhonda's hands and that she was carrying herself. Something felt off. Knight came up to me the day my sister died. He kind of blamed me for everything that happened with the baby, and I fucked my head up. You know it wasn't done on purpose, right? He told me what happened. She ignored her question and stepped closer to Farrah, who backed up. But if you alive, it means you're okay. Thank God for small favors, right? I'm alive. But it wasn't without a fight, Rhonda. He had a gun and everything. Had I not pushed him down, I would be dead. I don't care what you've done to him, Farrah. Me and Knight are not together no more. What? She frowned. Why? Because he don't want to be with a woman who can't hold a baby. That's so fucked up on his part. She reached out to touch her arm, but Rhonda snatched it away. I liked Knight for you. We all did. Well, he didn't feel the same way. Her creepy expression made Farrah uncomfortable. How come it looks like you still mad at me? You get anything in the mail lately? Rhonda asked with a grin. Anything at all? The hair on the back of Farrah's neck rose. The first thing she thought about was the picture she had ripped up in her purse. Although she didn't get it in the mail, she received it all the same. Why you say that? Rhonda smiled and walked past Farrah to the counter. Rhonda, why did you say that?
No reason,
she grinned. And if you talk to Slade again, tell him I said hi. Chapter 9, Slade.
Nigga, I don't give a fuck if we blood or not. Don't ever tell me I'm not doing what I can do to protect my brothers.
Slade sat at a flimsy square gray card table inside of a gym with Major, Killer, Willie, and some of Willie's men. Willie owned the gym because of the openness, which made it difficult to place microphones if the feds were after him. The smell of dirty boxing gloves and unwashed floors hovered in the air. But nobody seemed to mind. Audio was outside chain smoking because he hadn't come to grips that he and Chloe were done. Truthfully, His absence was appreciated, because these days, Audio never knew what to say out of his mouth. After the main objectives were covered, Willie decided to talk